Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
Jesus never promised us a perfect or problem-free life, but he did promise us in the midst of the problems and difficulties that we could have abundant life. Next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Chapel explores how we can discover abundant life in Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of the West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we are currently in a series entitled Abundant Christian Living. We're going to discover afresh and anew how, in difficult times, we can still have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us. If you only hear a portion of today's program, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the links to listen to programs on your computer. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and, of no charge, bring that program to your iPod or portable music player. All of that is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to enter this series, Abundant Christian Living. Pastor, why don't you give us a word of introduction?
When I study the life of Jesus Christ, I am always amazed that Satan himself would tempt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God in the flesh. And yet Jesus, I believe, allowed this temptation for one purpose, to show every one of us how to overcome temptation. Today we're turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to learn from Jesus how to abound over temptation. I don't know what the devil's been tempting you with lately, but I know there's an answer in the Word of God that will bring victory. Let's see how today.
Now he begins to get you to rationalize things away and to rationalize the truth away. Notice what he does in verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." Notice he is continuously questioning the truth. Dear friend, he was, is, and always shall be the Son of God. But Satan says, if you are the Son of God, he'll come into your mind and he'll say, are you really saved? Is the Bible really true? Is it really true that you should avoid this sin, or is that just some man's opinion? He'll come into your mind and begin to tempt and cause question. I'm going back to the book of Genesis in my mind. I'm going back to the time when the serpent, the snake, the devil went to that lady named Eve. And the very first thing that he said to her was, he said, is it true? Yea, hath God said that thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, you shall not surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he's telling the same lies today. You'll not die if you go into this lifestyle. You'll not suffer your health problems if you go into this lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with going in and being involved in that particular environment, that bar, that joint, whatever the case may be. It's all right once in a while, and the world seems to be trying to sell us with that philosophy as well. And the devil's business is to question truth. If you're the Son of God, go ahead. He was questioning the very truth that he knew to be true, for he had been cast out of heaven's glory by God the Father for his rebelliousness and wickedness in time past. Satan will come at a time of weakness. Satan will come and question the truth that you have heard and that you have learned. Notice, Satan will continue to come constantly. Temptation will never end until this body is put aside and your new body is received in heaven's glory someday. The Bible says in verse 3, and the tempter came to him. The Bible says in verse 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Notice again in verse number 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I want you to see something about the devil. He is relentless. He'll attack you one day, he'll attack you the next day. You may get victory on one business trip, but he'll attack you on the next business trip. You may have victory at one newsstand, but he'll attack you at the next one. You may have victory at one shot party, but he'll attack you at the next one. You may have victory in controlling the wrong kind of television one week, but the next week you'll fill your mind with smut. I'm saying he's not going to give up. I'm saying he's going to fight you and come back, whatever the weakness is. Maybe your weakness is a ding-dong or a Hostess cupcake. I don't know. We laugh about it. But with some people, they've made spiritual decisions about their body even in that way. And I'm saying whatever it is, dear friend, Satan is going to fight you at your weakest moment. He's going to question the decisions that you've made, even at this altar on Sunday, Wednesday night, and Sunday morning. I know you said you'd read the Bible, and I know you said you'd keep your mind full of God's Word, but hey, here's some stuff I want to put in your mind. There's nothing wrong with it, and you got to relax once in a while. Put the guard down once in a while. And he comes back and back, and he constantly fights. Oh, I'm thinking of the story of Samson and Delilah. I think of that wicked Delilah and how that she said, tell me the secret of your power. And Samson gave one story. But Delilah found out that was not the secret of his power, for he was still very strong and mighty. Delilah came back. She said, tell me the secret of your power. All of the time, the passion and the temptation was raging. All of the time, Samson was becoming infatuated with her beauty. Finally, after that third try, finally, he said, all right, I'll tell you my power. It is in the vow that I would never cut my hair. And therein lies the strength, because that hair is a sign of my promise to God that I belong only to him. And the next thing Samson knew was he woke up and, brother, he had a haircut. He was ready for the Marines. But he lost his power. He had lost his power. And the devil wants to rob you of your power and of your confidence and make you feel like you're defeated and make you feel like you're worthless. And he's going to come and tempt you time and time and time and time again. And dear friend, you had better be aware of how the devil works. He's going to fight you constantly. Not only will he come at a time of weakness, not only will he question the truth, not only will he bombard you time and time again, but Satan will make you promises that he can never deliver. Look in verse number 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now Satan was the prince of the earth, but dear friend, Jesus Christ knew and knows that one day he will be the rightful ruler and owner, and that he will rule this earth literally, as the Bible declares. But Satan was acting as though he had some authority that truthfully he does not have. Satan will give you many promises that he cannot deliver. He'll promise you that if you smoke Marlboro, that you can ride a horse and rope a calf. That you'll be a good-looking guy with a mustache and big muscles, and that you'll just be Mr. Macho. Satan forgets to tell you about lung cancer. He forgets to show you the cancer ward and the local hospital and the consequences of a life given over to tobacco. He promises things that he cannot really deliver. He promises a macho image, but all he gives is a 90-pound frail sack of a body. And many times have I visited cancer patients, and several times have I been there as they have drawn their last and fleeting breath and gone off into eternity. Why? Because the devil tricked them. Satan will show, and he'll show the beautiful woman and right next to the liquor. And he'll show that if you want to have fun and if you're going to be accepted with your friends, that you got to be able to hold a Coors or a Budweiser. By the way, your friends that do that are wimps. depending on outward show of the flesh to make themselves look like they're something big. Dear friend, in God's eyes, they are very weak. And if you're following that crowd, so are you. And you're going right into the devil's temptation. I'm just simply saying to you, the devil says, look, you can have all the liquor you want, and you're going to have beautiful women, and you're going to be the funniest guy at the party, and you're going to be this, that, and the other. But he never shows the abandoned children crying in the corner. He never shows the children who are not fed well and who are not cared for. Oh, some of these kids over at the Sunday school this morning. You watch them as they get on the bus and as they go to class. They smile and they laugh and they have such a good time. Why? Because for those few hours, somebody's giving them real love. Well, you need to understand, Satan promises that liquor will do things that liquor cannot do. Satan promises, and he gives all of these promises. I talked to a man. And he said he kept seeing the sign with the horse on it and wagering. And he was going to go wager. And his house is being repossessed today. You see, Satan promises the fast lifestyle. But dear friend, Satan is a liar and he cannot deliver. He wants you to worship this world system. But Jesus Christ wants all of your heart and all of mine. So Satan will lie and promise you things. He'll promise that no one will ever get hurt. No one will ever get disease. No one will ever have a problem. Hey, he says, if it feels good, do it. I talked with a man not long ago. This man literally was trapped by pornography. Trapped. He couldn't get away from it. He'd go a week or two or a month, but he found himself continually digging for it, looking for it constantly. This man said something. He said, lust has turned my wife into an object to use, not a person to love. He said, I just, in my mind, don't think normal anymore. You see, dear friend, one day the devil said it won't hurt to look at this. One day the devil brought it by his way, wherever it may have been. But now he'd gone deeper and deeper and deeper, so that now in his mind, he was not even thinking naturally. I'm saying that the devil will say there's nothing wrong with sin, but sin will always bring death, the Bible declares. The wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 3. Death to your marriage, death to your thought life, whatever it may be, you cannot afford for that part of your life to die. How do we abound over temptation? We see that God has a purpose in it. We see that Satan has a plan and a way to tempt, but how do we abound over it? Notice with me Christ's power to abound over temptation. How did Jesus get the victory? I think that's the way we ought to get the victory. Bible says here in verse number 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, but he answered and said, this is Jesus, this is God in the flesh. He answered and said, it is written. Those are key words right there. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is power in the Word of God, dear friend. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And when Satan came along and was tempting the Lord Jesus, he said, it is written. He took out the sword of the Word of God and he began to fight the devil. And the problem with so many Christians falling to sin is that you are not adept enough with the Word of God. You cannot defend yourself from Satan. You attend so little church or do so little Bible reading that when the temptation comes, you do not have the wherewithal to fight with that two-edged sword. You'd barely know John 3:16, if that, and therefore the devil sees an easy prey. If the Lord Jesus used the Word of God, we ought to use the Word of God. He said, it is written. And the key to victory over Satan's temptation is to be in the Word of God. I might add, in and around the people of God, the house of God, the work of God, but especially in a place where this book is proclaimed and preached with authority so that you can learn from God's Word how to have victory in the Christian life. Psalm 119 in verse 11, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, I don't want to sin. I don't want to fall to that temptation. I don't want to smoke that marijuana, drink that beer. I don't want to get involved in drunkenness like I've been. I don't want to find myself having those lustful thoughts any longer that will one day ruin my wife. And I don't like it, all right, then you'd better start packing the Word of God in your heart. You better get serious instead of flippant about this thing of attending the house of God, of reading the Word of God. You'd better make some decision while there is time. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 tells us concerning this spiritual warfare, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Look, if you're going to fight the devil, if you're going to have the victory, you're going to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and when he comes around, you're going to do battle with him according to the Word of God, which is the only hope for victory. Your word and my word does not matter. The devil and his crowd, I might add, hate the Bible. When the devil sees a preacher stand up who believes this book from cover to cover, and thank God, even believes the cover, Holy Bible, that devil gets nervous. When he sees you on your knees in the morning or at a table somewhere with this book open, he gets nervous. I was on a plane several months ago going back to the East Coast. I sat down next to this person. I looked there. Literally, I had to check if it was a man or a woman. I wasn't sure. Finally, I saw some whiskers. I figured it was either a man or a manly woman. This particular individual had long, long hair way down the middle of the back. Sunglasses. I'm always suspect of someone that wears sunglasses in an airplane. Now, if you're flying it, that's one thing. But I mean, when the shades are down, that's another thing. People wear sunglasses inside everywhere. Sometimes I'd like to say, take those off. Let me see your eyes for a minute. He had his sunglasses. He had his t-shirt that said, Ozzy Osbourne. He had all of the paraphernalia, the rock and roll type style in his dress. I did not mind that. I did not think ill of him. As a matter of fact, I thought of witnessing. I had planned to witness. I never sit with somebody in an airplane without at least trying to witness to them. And so he sat there. They came by. They offered the soft drinks. I had a Sprite. He had some cocktails. I finished my Sprite. I reached into my briefcase. I pulled out the Bible. Amen. I put it on the table where the Sprite was. That man got frightened. He looked at that Bible. He looked at his martini. He began to look around. I don't know what he's looking for. Maybe an escape door. Finally, he literally trampled over me to get out of there. Friend, you would have thought I had AIDS. All I had was a Bible. Why? That old devil's crowd, by the way, don't you think for one minute that rock and roll industry is of God, and it's not of God, it's of the devil. That man had been listening to that music. He'd been pouring it into his mind. All the rebelliousness and the satanic ritualism, he'd been singing about it. It had been glamorized in his mind. And when he saw the pure word of God opened up and a man next to him, the very thought of even being around it made him nervous. The world is so funny. Someone will get AIDS, and the movie stars will make an open attempt on the camera to go kiss that person with AIDS so as not to appear prejudiced towards the one with AIDS. But blessed be God, you get a Bible around them and they get mad about it. They don't want to be anywhere near a Bible. Our values in this society are messed up. I'm trying to point out to you that your friends, what you ought to do when they start opening the Budweiser is open this book and see how long they stick around. By the way, if you're a Christian, you ought not be ashamed of that book. Some of you used to do that, and you need to get back to doing it while there's still time, while you're still here, while I've got a little bit of your ear left this morning. The fact of the matter is, Satan hates this book. The fact of the matter is, this book is our only victory over temptation and the quoting of these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The Bible says that God is faithful, who will not suffer you above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, God will never allow a situation to come your way wherewith you will not be able to overcome that temptation. The Bible says he'll always make a way of escape. The problem is we don't look for it. Temptation is right there. We're about ready to make a decision that would ruin our family, would ruin our health. And the Bible says God's got a way of escape, exit stage left. And you know there's a way of escape. And the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you over there. But so many times we do not acknowledge God's way of escape. I'm trying to say to you that when you're tempted to miss church, you need to say to that old devil, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Get on back to where you came from, devil. I'm saying that when you're tempted to miss Bible study, you need to say, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I know I'm tired, but devil, get out of here and go on back to where you came from. I'm going to study God's word right now. I don't know what the temptation may be. He may be tempting you not to witness. He may be telling you that you're going to feel awkward or people are going to think funny of you. You quote to him what Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. For every temptation, there's a verse to battle that temptation. You say, I'm being tempted with drugs or alcohol. Why don't you say to Mr. Devil, why don't you say, this body's the temple of God. He has purchased me. I belong to him. Go on back to hell where you came from. You see, it's about time that we got mean with that old devil. It's about time that we started quoting God's word at him and that we started having victory. Look, sin is glamorized. Lustfulness and moral decay everywhere abounds. What are we going to do? We're going to have to get back to this book. We're going to have to come back to God's word. We're going to have to flee youthful lust. We're going to have to avoid the appearance of evil. We're going to have to hide these scriptures in our hearts today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roareth about and walketh about like a roaring lion, and listen to this, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to make you vanish away. Now hear me. The devil's goal is that a year from now, you'll be out of fellowship with God. You're saved, he cannot take your soul. But he'd like to devour you. He'd like to make you vanish away. He'd like it so that you'd never be in church again. He'd like it so that you'd never read the Bible again. He would like to devour you, and he knows the temptation that'll get to you. And you've got to determine to be in God's word faithfully if you're going to make it in these days. You and I need to commit to his word. You that are not saved, you've got to say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I want to be saved. And the Bible says if they'll open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with them and they with me. Amen. You see, friend, Jesus Christ wants to save you, but you've got to let him in. I'd like to have my sins forgiven. I'd like to have that new start. That's exactly what I need. I'm saying today, temptation is real. I'm saying you'll face it today, tomorrow, every day of your life. I'm saying God will use it for your best. Satan will use it for your worst. The only way to have victory is to hide this book in your heart, to know that you're saved.
Friend, have you ever made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, Christian growth is the process of a lifetime, but salvation is the miracle of a moment. Even right now, you could come to the Lord by faith and simply say to Him in prayer, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess that to you. And I ask you to forgive me and to come into my life and be my personal Savior. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And if you are willing to turn from yourself, from your false religion, and put faith in Christ alone as your Savior, He promises to forgive your sin and to save you today. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. To all those who have trusted in Christ, we have the wonderful promise of spending our eternity with Jesus Christ. I hope you'll take time to consider God's love and to respond by faith to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, if you have just made that decision, we would like to know about it and rejoice with you and perhaps send you some materials to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. I hope you'll take a moment to contact us. I'll give you that information in just a moment. You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, teaching a series entitled Abundant Christian Living. If you'd like to hear any or all of this series, or if you'd like to download it to your iPod or computer, you can visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. www.thebiblecast.org. On the website, you'll find free links to recent broadcasts, also the free subscription to the daily podcast, and take Daily in the Word with you anywhere. Also, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion or visit his personal blog. There's a lot more on the website. I hope you'll take time to visit and let us know that you're listening. It's all to be at dailyintheword.org. We do have a gift for you this month, a book written by Dr. Chappell entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference. This is our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for letting our program touch your life on a regular basis. When you take time to contact us by email, phone, or regular mail, we would love to rejoice that you're one of our listeners, and we want to send you this gift, Leaders Who Make a Difference. The easiest way is to visit dailyintheword.org and send us an email, or you can call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. For more information about West Coast Baptist College, visit westcoastbaptist.edu. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.